So this morning, as we follow on the series in 1 Peter, our message concerns the meaning of what it is to suffer as a Christian. And we've got the first of the slides just to follow through, just to remind us of that topic. So if you look at chapter 4 and verse 16, you'll see those words where Peter is saying, if you suffer as a Christian, well, the reality of the people he's writing to was very much when you suffer as a Christian. And this subject of suffering is one that we need to approach with some sensitivity. The Bible isn't sentimental about suffering. It's very realistic through the whole history of the Old Testament and the New. The reality of suffering is put forward. And you'll see here in verse 12 of chapter 4, in introducing this topic, Peter addresses these Christians as dear friends. And he's talking about the kind of love that they experience from God. So, dear friends, here is a very Christian word. He's reminding them that they are loved by God. And then he's equally clear about the reality of their sufferings. We associate suffering very much with pain, and certainly all of us at one time or another will have experience some degree of physical pain. But we'll see in a moment that Peter goes beyond the physical pain. Again, most of us will know what it is to have a stomach that churns over when we're emotionally affected by what's happening around us. Many of us will know what it's like to toss and turn through the night, through that mental anguish. And certainly there is the very reality of who and what we are and the helplessness of our situation at times when we suffer. And right throughout history, indeed, right from the fall in the Garden of Eden, pain and suffering has been part of our common humanity. But Peter here isn't just talking about suffering. He's talking about what it means to suffer as a Christian. And the reality of that, we saw something of just in the video that was shown. We can only begin to try and imagine what it would be like to shut up in one of those metal containers, herded in with just very little daylight, to receive just this food that makes you ill, and then to have to cope with that illness in circumstances where there's no provision, no sanitary provision. And we know that there are many, many people who suffer a great deal. And so it truly is a subject where we need to approach it sensitively. In my work, I worked with children who had been deliberately burnt, children who had more than 20 fractures of their bones, children who were in a sense just a shell of what it meant to be a child. And we still live in a world, we still live in a country where that kind of suffering takes place. And we think, of course, and Peter will refer us in a moment to the reality of the suffering of Christ. And as we move again towards Easter time, we look upon that cross as we've just sung. And we're very aware of the physical pain and suffering. But of course, that was a pain and a suffering that was endured by thousands of people who were put to death by crucifixion. So the focus isn't so much on the pain itself. There are children born with medical conditions that mean they don't have a day of their life without physical pain. And there are people whose lives are so full of distress that they start each day with great darkness, with great fear, with great anguish, the depth and the reality of suffering is something that challenges our thinking about Christians. And yet here, Peter is specifically referring to what it means to suffer as a Christian. And we can see that that might mean two different things. It can mean to suffer for being a Christian, and that's the kind of persecution that we saw in the video, and also suffer as a Christian can mean that there is a Christian way in which we are to face suffering. There is a consecration. There is, as we have just sung, a pouring out of our lives, and that may well be a life that's lived in various kinds of suffering. Many years ago, I met Dr. Helen Roosevelt. Some of you will remember that she was a Baptist woman doctor in Congo. And it was after she had been held in captivity that she was sharing with us her testimony. But my thoughts go back to first meeting, and our Romanian friends might recognize these words, the first Christian that I met face to face who had suffered persecution was Richard Wurmbrand. He was a Romanian Christian minister who said you couldn't be a Christian and a communist. And so he was imprisoned and tortured for his beliefs. And I met him in at 65 when he'd been released and had come to London, and he shared a Bible study with us about what it meant to be persecuted as a Christian. Just turn, will you, to that verse in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. This was the verse that he shared with us. It stayed with me because it just is so challenging for us in the comfort and in the fact that in this country we really know very little about this kind of persecution. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. In fact, Paul says, a fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And to sit in the company of Richard Wurmbrand and hear what it meant for him to suffer made us feel very feeble as Christians. And yet, having challenged us with those words, he went on to assure us that if it came to that kind of suffering in this country, then God would provide the strength. And then this man, who's still alive, I think, another Romanian, this time Baptist minister, he was arrested in Romania in 1977. He was told that he would be imprisoned for preaching, and he said to his inquisitors that he was ready to die in order to maintain his commitment to continue preaching for the Lord Jesus. It was on the basis of his commitment to die for his preaching that oddly he was released at that time, and just a few years later he was just up the road from here in Oxford at a college there, and sharing again the challenge, are you ready to die for your faith, to share the gospel? And we heard from Helen in that video the fact that she was willing to suffer in order to continue to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, now we live in a time when we hear from Open Doors and we hear from Barnabas Trust about hundreds of Christians in dozens of different countries of the world. And one of the people they mentioned just a few weeks ago, on the 20th of January in North Nigeria, Pastor Andimi was murdered by the Boko Haram terrorists. And I want just to move on to this second understanding of what it means to suffer as a Christian, because what we're being told and what we were reminded of in that video was that it's not just suffering because you're a Christian, but in the way that you suffer. And so this pastor in Nigeria, to his family, had assured them that his life was in God's hands, and they should continue to give thanks for everything. And then also in this magazine, you'll have heard a bit about the Rohingya people, people in Burma who have become refugees in Bangladesh. You mainly hear about those who are Muslims, but there are also those who are Christians who have moved into Bangladesh, and this group of Rohingya Christians lost all their possessions, their churches were attacked, people were badly injured, and so on their Facebook page they posted, "O Lord, please forgive our persecutors." So that's very challenging when we see and hear of people who are not only suffering because they're Christians, but they're suffering in a way that demonstrates the teaching that Peter gives us. And we'll just turn to that now. So in his writings, although Paul has most to say about his own personal sufferings, it's Peter who uses this word suffering more than any other of the books in the New Testament. So if you will, in your Bibles, just follow through then this teaching that Peter is providing us about suffering, and we'll start in chapter 1 and verse 6. So here Peter makes clear that he is referring not only to a physical kind of suffering, but you'll see he refers to those who had suffered grief in all kinds of trials. And we know that grief is one of those very deep forms of suffering, often to do with loss, but also how deeply embedded that becomes in our lives when we're grieving. And these are Christians then who have had to face all kinds of trials. So Peter is clearly wanting us to recognize that suffering is part of our testing, and that it's part of a suffering that is a distress of our bodies and our minds. And I just want to remind you of what John's Gospel says, chapter 21 and verse 17, Peter, after he'd denied the Lord, has met the Lord by the side of the lake, and Jesus is saying, "Do you love me?" And then on that third time, we read that Peter was grieved. Peter was deeply hurt. And again, we can only imagine what it meant for him, having said so boldly that he would never deny his Lord. And yet here he was in deep failure, being asked by the Lord, "Do you love me?" And so he's hurt. He's suffering. So what Peter is sharing here, indeed he says so in this letter, that he's writing it as a brother, he's writing it as a fellow elder, he's writing it as someone who has experienced what it means to suffer with Christ. And then just turn on into chapter 2. And we find that there Peter is talking about Christians who are conscious of God. You heard Helen say on the video that they were so aware of the presence of God. There they are, shut up in a metal container in absolutely filthy, stinking conditions, not knowing when the next torture is going to be applied, and yet praying three times during the day, three times during the night, and always conscious of the presence of God. And it's that presence of God, Peter is saying, within this persecution that enables these Christians to bear up and bear up under the pain and the grief, particularly in this case of unjust suffering. People who are enduring suffering, as chapter 3 and verse 14 reminds us, for doing good, for doing what is right. And so in that sense, very much demonstrating what it means to suffer as a Christian, because they're suffering not for things they've done wrong, but they're suffering for maintaining their faith, for maintaining their proclamation of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then this suffering, Peter reminds us in chapter 5 and verse 9, isn't only about what's happening in our minds and in our emotions and in our bodies. He's pointing out that this is a suffering that we share with our brothers and sisters throughout the world as part of a spiritual warfare, resisting not just flesh and blood, but resisting the devil himself. You stand with Christians worldwide, and even though our form of suffering and hardship in this country is nothing compared to theirs, can I say the way in which you suffer as a Christian, or the way in which you maintain your faith, affects other brothers and sisters in Christ. Just as we're encouraged and blessed as we hear of how other people continue to live for the Lord in great hardship, so you, where you are, in your witness, in your testimony, in all the trials and testings of life, you are standing shoulder to shoulder with other brothers and sisters throughout the world. Their strength becomes your encouragement, and your encouragement becomes their strength. And how is that? Well, look at chapter 3 and verse 17. This really mind-blowing thought that suffering can be God's will. Did you hear Helen say that in the video? I am here in that metal cage, as it were, because God wants me to be here. God wants me to witness for him in this way. And Peter says it's better to follow God's will in suffering, even when we're suffering for doing the good. It's better to suffer according to God's will, he says, which means committing ourselves to a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4 and 19. So in the challenges that we face, Peter is saying, are you committed to a Creator who is faithful, who knows all about you, who knows you better than you know yourself, who is our sovereign Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the ruler over nations and over history? Are you committed to being his faithful servant? And then really, just to sum it all up, you'll find that in 4 or 5 places in this letter, Peter talks about the suffering of Christ. The way the Holy Spirit, through the prophets, predicted that the Messiah would suffer and be glorified. The way in which Christ's suffering is leaving you an example. 1 Peter 2:21, and then 1 Peter 4:1. Christ suffered in his body. But you know, it wasn't the nail in his hands, wasn't the spear in his side, it wasn't the crown of thorns on his head. It was that he bore our sins in his body on the cross. And Peter says there's a lesson for us here. We're to have the same attitude and have done with sin. So he says we're to share in the sufferings of Christ, both as witnesses to that suffering, as Paul witnessed it firsthand, and in witnessing that and participating in that, the Christian way of suffering is to rejoice. How can we do that? Well, the final verses there in chapter 5, after you have suffered, there's to be restoration, there's to be strength, there's to be glory. So Paul reminds us that our afflictions, our suffering, our pain are really just minor. However dark and however difficult, they're just for a moment compared to the glory of eternity, in which there is to be no more pain and no more suffering. The glorious hope of Christian suffering, the fact that the pain is followed by the glory. Let me just leave you with that masterpiece, Raphael's final masterpiece. It's a work of art that really is depicting two totally opposite realities. At the top, he's painting the glory of the transfiguration of Christ. a moment shared with Moses and Elijah, a moment observed by Peter, John and James on the Mount of Transfiguration. And in the light and the glory and the splendor of that occasion, we have beneath it the healing of a young boy. We have the pain and the suffering and the distress suffered and experienced by people who looked on that child in his suffering. And out of that, the people that are gathering round it are showing how amazed they are at the restoration of that child. And also they're linking it as their arms are pointing upwards to recognize that out of that time of suffering and deliverance, there is this magnificent glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen.